I want to encourage them to step up now and take care of these dead zones for the public safety of the citizens of the town of Colony.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, a conversation with Republican Town Supervisor Peter Crummy from Colony, the largest suburb in the Capital Region. Well, the town board recently passed a local law meant to improve cell phone service in Colony in Albany County. The law provides a process by which wireless carriers may apply for permits to add cell nodes to existing poles and structures. My colleague Jim Lavoulis spoke with Town Supervisor Peter Crummy about that and much more. Okay, here's their conversation.
I have been told by our police and volunteer fire personnel that calls, emergency calls, are being dropped. And that's just from the public safety point of view. I've also heard the same stories from many residents in our town. Our town suffers from a variety of dead spots for cell service. And in the new technology that I saw in play in January, the first month of my term here as town supervisor, new technology has become available where small cell nodes can be placed on top of existing poles, and they can push a signal 2,000 feet in all directions. And it seemed to me that that was just the type of thing that we need here in Colony to fill in these dead zones. So in looking at our current law, or what was then the current law, even for an applicant or a carrier to propose the utilization of a cell node, it still had to go through the protracted process of a zoning application, go to the zoning board for approvals and consideration. And it was a very an unusually protracted process, which would almost, which did not meet today's technology. That process still exists for applications which may come before the town for monopoles and other taller antenna in the town. That process still applies. But I decided to create a law that would allow for a simpler process to meet today's technology and get these signal boosters up and running for the town.
And have you spoken with the wireless carriers active in the area about these cell nodes, and are they interested in installing them?
Yes, they are. In fact, I did a site visit in January, within the first 30 days of my term, to see one in play. And currently, we went down to the corner of Osborne and Exchange in the town of Colony, and that's a county right-of-way, that Osborne Road piece. And they showed me what a cell node looked like on top of an existing pole. I took pictures of it, et cetera, just to have them. And as a result of that, and as a former zoning board attorney here for the town for 13 years, I thought there's probably a better way that we could manage these very small cell nodes and encourage their utilization. And I have met with officials from, so far I've had meetings over the course of the spring with Verizon and AT&T representatives, and they have both embraced the concept wholeheartedly. This was my idea to put forth, and the town board was wholly supportive and voted unanimously to adopt this streamlined process for these small cell nodes. And it was not something that the carriers had asked us to do, but I want to encourage them to step up now and take care of these dead zones for the public safety of the citizens of the town of Colony.
And yeah, outside of that streamlined process and, you know, goodwill as it pertains to public safety, is there, in your mind, any incentive for the wireless carriers to roll these out?
I believe yes, because under the other law that's still available in the town of Colony, it was a much more protracted process where they had to develop applications, go through the zoning board and the publication requirements, the meeting requirements. There was such a delay and such an expense in moving forward in that way that they may not have enjoyed the incentive that I believe the town now provides to get these signals boosted in these dead zones so that we can protect the citizens of the town of Colony and stop the dropped call situations. Many people, sometimes I've had people come to me and say they were in a fender bender on the road. Well, you can imagine, I mean, how busy our roads are, and that can happen once in a while. And they call for emergency service, and the call's dropping. I had a neighbor recently tell me that they were contacting EMS because a senior citizen had fainted in their backyard, and the call to EMS dropped. I mean, it's inappropriate. To me, it's a public safety issue, and I believe by providing this process, the carrier should be stepping up as soon as possible to start implementing these small cell nodes to fix this public safety problem.
And when do you think the first node might go up?
Well, it was interesting because a representative from Verizon was in the audience during the public hearing on this particular local law, and I spoke to him briefly after, and he certainly recognizes now how this can streamline the process, and I've urged him to step up and deliver these small cell nodes. The technology has advanced so much from 20, 30 years ago. We can advance these signals in these special locations without these very large poles that may interfere with viewscape, et cetera. These are on existing poles in the town and on the town's right of way. So I believe that they're very excited about the opportunity as well, and I expect a rollout this fall. I'll be looking for one, I can promise you that, Jim.
And do you have a list of the top spots that you want to see addressed first?
Well, I know they do, because when I met with them, I met with Verizon, and I've met with AT&T as well, and I know they know where their service is weak. And there's no question, even in major corridors, Route 9, right outside of Town Hall, as you move south on Route 9 toward the Albany line, these calls are dropping, and it's not only just for the people in their cars who might be calling for emergency help, but it's all of the homeowners that live along that same Route 9 corridor, a highly traveled corridor, and that's just one of many. We have Albany Shaker Road right in front of the firehouse. I mean, this is where, you know, a year ago when I started my 8-month campaign for town supervisor, it was one of the issues that was brought to my attention the whole time, and I made it a campaign issue, and we've delivered on our promise to figure out how to encourage these carriers to step up and to complete the service that is so vital to the citizens of the town of Colony.
Does this local law come at any financial cost on the part of the town? Does the town, you know, promising any money for these cell nodes, anything like that?
No, not at all. In fact, whether a carrier applies for an antenna or any type of service enhancement through the existing zoning board avenue, or even if they choose to do the small cell nodes, there's a fee. For instance, the first thing you would have to do, but the fees are much less if you do the cell nodes under the brand new local law. If a carrier is proposing to add a cell node, it's a $150 highway work permit, because they will be in our town right-of-way as they're working. So there's a $150 highway work permit, which applies to anyone who's working in a town right-of-way. And then there's an application review fee of $100, and then an annual right-of-way occupancy license fee of $270. The fees are far more modest and in connection with promoting this cell service, but the fees are paid for by the carrier, not by the town of Colony.
Now, before taking over as town supervisor this January, you said you intended to increase the miles of roads to be repaired this year. Are you hitting the goals you set?
Absolutely. I'm happy that you asked. And in fact, I embarked on the most aggressive road repair program that the town has ever engaged in. And I thank the town board for continuing to support my efforts in this regard, just as they supported my efforts in creating this local law to enhance our cell service here in the town of Colony. Historically, the town had been renovating and repairing up to 13 miles of town road each year. I stepped that up. We'll be doing 20 miles of town road this year, and my plan is to do more than that next year. We're behind in our road repair. We're catching up now. Mind you, Jim, we have 1,400 miles of town road. Strike that. 1,400 town roads. 1,400 town roads. And we're doing 89 this year, and we'll do more than 89 next year. So it takes some time, but we're at it. And I think, from what I can tell, the residents who stop me everywhere I am in public, they've recognized the road repair, and they're pleased to see it happen. And we're going to continue to do it. It can't all be done in 1 year, but we're on an aggressive campaign to catch up on our road repair. And 89 roads are scheduled for this year, and we'll be doing more next year. But as you know, I mean, we have 330 miles of town road to care for, and we'll take care of 20 of them this year, and we'll do more than 20 next year.
Supervisor, how are the town's finances doing?
Yeah, I think that, overall, I find that it's always a challenge here in the town, in part because historically, for instance, the town budget was based largely on sales tax revenue. That's always a concern for me because a major part of our town budget is based on the whim of the purchaser, and that can fluctuate. And here we are now, all of us are well aware of the characteristics and fear of recession or inflation, and it's challenging. It's a very challenging time in town government to be able to maintain what we're trying to do here when a key component is based on sales tax, and it has been that way for decades. It's not new. But I don't think it's the soundest approach for stability. We've been fortunate in the past to develop, the sales tax revenues to make it work. But I think that I would love to be able to long-term figure out methods and mechanisms to pull away from counting on that because you don't control that year after year. I mean, you just don't. You're guessing what sales tax revenue might look like. And, running town of Colony should not be a guessing game. So, but otherwise, I believe that, I'm working with a budget that was adopted by the town board last year. I'm currently working on my first budget for presentation to the town board in October and meeting with each department individually. And I believe with caution and care, we'll be in good shape. However, remember this. I mean, there are some costs that have skyrocketed, just like in our families. Energy prices are times two. We're budgeting times two for next year. Gasoline prices, we use a lot of petroleum in our work. We have police cars. We have EMS ambulances and cars. We have a water department. We have sewer department. We have highway department trucks. So when you think about adding times two to all of the energy needs, we're told that the power that we need to manage the sewer plant and the water plant and town hall and the public safety buildings times two. The energy is a huge challenge for all governments, certainly the town of Colony. And when we have to do times two, how do I backfill that? What kind of creativity will be needed in order to match just the energy costs alone the town that we'll be facing this year? We're looking at a variety of different opportunities. We're comparing, we're contrasting, we're drilling deeper into energy right now and trying to make, and get the best prices available as we move into the future. I'm finding that a lot of our providers don't want to give annual rates for next year. Nobody knows what it's going to look like, so they don't want to lock down. So it's harder for us to navigate because providers don't want to lock down because it's the uncertainty that's been injected into the economy here, not only in Colony, but in the entire United States of America, makes it exceedingly challenging, just like it is for everyone in their own home and family.
Supervisor, you mentioned your concern over the reliance on sales tax revenue for the town. You mentioned putting together the budget proposal to go before the town board in October. Will this proposal try and address that, steer the town a little bit away from that reliance on sales tax revenue?
I would suggest that long term, the town should start to consider ways to lessen its dependence and reliance on sales tax revenue because of the fact that you're guessing. You're guessing at what it might be. And that's not a very strategic way to develop sound economies. It will certainly be a part. I can't imagine eradicating any reference or dependence on sales tax revenue. It is here, and it will take quite some time. But I think that, over the course of time, I would like to see us looking at ways in which we can decrease the emphasis on sales tax so that if we had a great year one year and we didn't rely on it so much, maybe we could get it back into a continue to build, these rainy day funds and things that we need to, further strategize. As the town has been under the state controller's watch list for a number of years now. And my goal is to get us out from under the watch list so that we can proceed to the future with a stronger basis. So that's my first goal, is to make sure the town of Colony no longer is listed on a municipal watch list by the state controller's office. And that's number one. And also, while I'm here and going through every department, let's look where we can find ways to cut. If there are opportunities for maybe purchasing in more bulk as opposed to department by department, maybe we could have better opportunities of savings in certain quantities of items that the townwide town uses. So, and just economies of scale for us we're trying to obviously, get a better price on our energy needs. But so far, what we're being told is it's twice as much. Twice as much. I mean, when you're running a municipality of this size, not only do we have 85,500 residents in this town, but on any given day, we can have as many as 250,000 people in our town. So think of the services that we're maintaining for that 250,000 people who come here to live or to work and play, shop, whatever. And as a result, you can imagine, and I saw it in the court system for years, that our court was so busy, but it wasn't if we only had to manage the 85,000 residents, that would look a lot easier to do than managing 250 people in the town. So it spun up the police activity, spins up EMS activity, spun up the court activity, because we're addressing that type of population, not just our own. And it does have an impact. I mean, certainly, you know, now being the downtown of the Capital Region, which Fred Field used to say years ago when I first got to Town Hall 42 years ago, there are issues that come into play when you are the downtown of the Capital Region. I now need to provide water on a daily basis that could potentially serve 250,000 people. I have to deal with Pure Waters Department, our sewer service, for 250. Maybe visitors come in, maybe they're working here all day, and they may well be utilizing our Pure Waters Department as well. So, or drinking water, so that we have water, not just for the 85, but it also comes with a cost, because we also have water supplied to over 200,000 people that come into the town on a daily basis. So there's a lot of uses that the town has to step up for, and managing that, and all the while providing what I believe is a community second to none.
And with all that you're facing, even back in December 2021, we chatted. This was before you were sworn in. You told us that, quote, Lord willing, you plan to be on the ballot for town supervisor in November 2023. Is that still the case?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Jim. I didn't step off the bench after 21 years to offer my service to our town residents for one term.
And I forget now, would that be a four-year term now or a two-year term still?
Because Jim, I'm glad you asked. Late last year, under the leadership of Paula Mahan and the town board then, they adopted a local law moving the town supervisor office and the town clerk office from 2 years to 4 years. But that was just step one of the process. But I commend the town board last year in a bipartisan way to move that local law. Under state law now, it becomes a ballot proposition this fall. So the town residents will be asked this fall when they go in to vote, there'll be a proposition on the ballot asking the town voter to consider moving the supervisor's two-year term and the town clerk's two-year term to 4 years. And I believe it's wholly appropriate to do so, considering the length and breadth of this town and the type of activity that happens here on a daily basis. Giving the CEO a two-year term is very challenging. Every mayor has a four-year term, whether the village has 4,000 people in it or whether it has 10,000 people in it. Our town board members have four-year terms. I believe the town supervisor and town clerk at the pace that this town is moving demands that be the right choice to go to 4 years, no matter who is elected next November. If the town residents vote yes on the proposition this year, what it means is that in the next supervisor race of November 2023, that person's, whoever's running, will be running for a four-year term.
Peter Crummie, a Republican, is the supervisor of the town of Colony. Supervisor, thank you very much for your time.
Jim, it's always a pleasure. Have a great week.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.